Hi Larry and all Blind Cool Tech listeners. This is Donna Slater from the UK. Well, I've been absent from Blind Cool Tech for a while and basically have had a lot of podcasts to catch up with and a lot of reading on the Blind Cool Tech email list. So please forgive me if people have tried to contact me and I haven't replied. And also please forgive me if I'm a bit behind with some of the emails on Blind Cool Tech. Unfortunately, at present, my health is very up and down, really. I have some weeks where I'm absolutely fine, and I have other weeks where I'm not too good. And I've just gone through a period of not too good, as it were. It's a long-standing viral problem, which the doctors are trying to treat, but it is taking a long time. Anyway, right, that's enough about my health problems and why you seem to sort of get long absences from me. I wanted to talk today about a few things. Firstly, I wanted to give some feedback. I've been listening to quite a lot of podcasts over the weekend, and Blind Cool Tech is just, well, it's just really going from strength to strength. It's absolutely amazing. The wealth of information and talent that people are contributing to this podcast is incredible. And I just want to thank everybody. There are too many of you to mention by name for all your contributions. They're absolutely incredible. Some are entertaining, some are extremely useful and informative. And I just think the whole idea of having really open, enlightening discussions where people are accepting of other people's views is incredible. And I would encourage all of you just to keep on with what you're doing, really. It's making for the best podcast I've ever come across. It really is. Okay, a couple of things I wanted to talk about. First of all, I'd quite like to spend some time now discussing relationships and relationships with children. As many of you know from my previous podcasts, I am totally blind and I am married to a sighted husband, Matt, and I have two young children. Now, my children are aged 6 and 4 and they are both sighted, and being young children, they're very boisterous, quite hard work. And they both know very well that I am, quote, different, unquote, because I can't see. And they're both very accepting of that in different ways. I've known Matt for well over 10 years now, and he, from the outset of our relationship, accepted me for who I was and for what I am. We've discussed our relationship quite a lot this weekend, given the podcast discussions, and Matt basically feels that we both bring strengths and weaknesses to the relationship, and that's how I feel too. There are times when we both get very frustrated with each other. I get frustrated because Matt's away an awful lot with his job and I'm left with the children. Also, he's the most untidy person in the whole wide world, I reckon. I'm not a tidy person, but gosh, he beats me into the ground with that. And Matt obviously gets very frustrated because there are things that I cannot do. Like if the children need taking anywhere or whatever, public transport where I live is appalling, and basically we're very reliant on Matt or relatives to help me out with that. Now, he's also frustrated by the fact that recently, because of my health problems, we haven't been able to do as much with our hobbies. And also, because we've got two young children, it's very hard fitting in our hobbies then. So yeah, we do have frustrations. Some of them stem from the fact that I'm blind. But to be honest, every person I know, every relationship I know, there are elements of frustration with one another within a relationship. And I don't think, for me, that because I'm blind makes it any different. I really, really feel that the frustration is just part of any relationship, whether you're blind and blind and sighted, or two-sighted people even. I think there will always be an element of frustration with one another. I'm maybe cynical, but I just do not believe that there is ever a perfect relationship. Now, having said that, Matt and I have an extremely close relationship, and we get on extremely well. And most of the time, you know, our relationship is great, and the frustrations that we have aren't at the forefront. Okay, that's discussing my relationship with Matt. Now, let's turn to the children. That's a different ball game. If anyone had ever told me, before I had the children, how frustrated I would get at being blind once I had children, I wouldn't have believed them. For me, being blind is just part of who I am. And there have been times when I've wished I could see. But by and large, I don't think about it. Having children, however, has made me think about it an awful lot more. There have been and are so many times when to be able to see would solve so many problems or would give me so much additional pleasure that, yep, having had children and being blind, I have found very frustrating. Other people may say differently. This is purely a personal point of view. Let me give you some examples. Bethany, my daughter, who is aged 4, is a real drama queen. She's a natural actress. She's so expressive facially and with body language. She can make people laugh. She can show when she's so angry. She is extremely expressive. I mean, even with vocabulary she is, but body language and facial expression wise, she really, really is very expressive, and people are always saying, oh gosh, you know, Bethany just expresses so much. Do I ever wish I could see that? It's frustrating, it's annoying, it's just one of those things that I really, really wish that, you know, I could see. When she was born, she was really cuddly with most people, and she was not very affectionate with me at all. And it took us a long time to realise that right from the word go, effectively, Bethany was looking for eye contact. It took her a long time, or quite a while, to realise that I couldn't give her eye contact, but I could give her affection in all the other ways. And because Bethany seemed to prefer Matt, and even my parents and Matt's parents to me, it actually took me a long time to build up any sort of relationship with her, or any close relationship. Yes, I loved her, and yes, I cared for her and all the rest of it, but physically it took quite a long time for me to get a close, comfortable relationship with her. She did eventually realise, before she could speak or, you know, sort of probably put thoughts together, but she did eventually realise that for whatever reason I couldn't give her eye contact. And we did develop a really, really good relationship, but it did take a while. Now, Alex, on the other hand, my son, who is age 6, was completely different. Alex has always been emotionally very, very, very close to me. When he was born, I was always the one that he preferred. I was always the one that he would cuddle up to. And he was never bothered about eye contact at all. That didn't seem to faze him. From very early on, Alex realised that I couldn't see. And he would instinctively show me things, put things in my hand, or tell me when he could verbalise, he would tell me where things were. Bethany that side of things has taken quite a bit more work. What I'm actually saying is, because they're two very different children, the way my relationship has developed with both of them has been quite different. And again, I think that tends to happen with sighted parents too. I know my sister and I were very different, and my mum's relationship development with both of us was fairly different too. She was always very close to me. Paula was always, my sister was always much closer to my dad. And that was the case for a long time. Okay, other elements of the relationship. When I first had Alex, I wasn't at all used to looking after young children. I'd been around young children a lot because my sister has three children, but I wasn't used to looking after them. I'd never changed a nappy or a diaper, as you call them in America. And it was quite daunting. And I didn't expect that I would be really maternal. I was actually intending to pursue my career soon after my children, well, soon after Alex was born. And I was very, very surprised to find out how maternal I actually felt, and to find that I really, really enjoyed all aspects of childcare, even from a very early age. There were things I found very, very difficult. Things that I didn't expect to find difficult either. Let me give you an example. I wanted to breastfeed Alex, and basically, I found that extremely difficult. I ended up having to bottle feed him because it was easier. And I was amazed that I had found something which I thought would be very easy to be very difficult. There were other aspects that were quite difficult too. One of them was actually getting out and doing things with Alex when he started walking. I live close to relatives, but very often when relatives agree to help, they sort of want to help on their terms. And so if I want to spend an hour at the playground with the children, or if I wanted to, I would find that, you know, relatives wanted to either take them by themselves or wanted to help me do something else. And I was getting very frustrated by the fact that I couldn't just decide, you know, right, it's a lovely day outside, we'll go to the playground and I can let Alex play. Or I can, when Bethany came along, I can let Alex and Bethany play. And the reason, obviously, I couldn't do that is because I couldn't see what he was doing. I couldn't see if he fell off the swing or whatever. Yeah, I'd hear him cry from wherever and probably be able to get to him. But that isn't enough at that age. I needed someone who could see to go with me. What ultimately happened was that somebody put me in touch with a voluntary service who help parents who are, for whatever reason, having various problems at the early stage of bringing up children. Now, I wasn't having problems in that I wasn't having problems bringing Alex up. I could do everything with him with regard to making sure that he was fed and all the rest of it. But I was having problems in getting him out and about. So the service, the voluntary service, agreed that I sort of fitted their remit. And they provided me with a volunteer who would spend 3 hours a week with me doing things just with the children, things I couldn't do. So on nice days, we would go to the local playground. On rainy days, we would go to place called Wacky Warehouse, which has ball pools and basically slides and all sorts of things. It's an indoor play area. But again, I couldn't have done that by myself. I can't drive there. I can't get there in any easy way. And it was just something that, you know, I couldn't do by myself. The volunteer they provided has subsequently become a friend, and we actually get on very well, and she's still carrying on coming for 3 hours a week doing things with the children and myself. Sometimes, for example, on rainy days, we'll get the paints out. Now, with Bethany, if I get the paints out with Bethany on my own, she's liable to paint the whole house from top to bottom, and it's quite difficult for me to keep track all the time of what she's doing. You know, if she gets paint on her fingers, then she's going to go around touching things and what have you. And again, it's very handy to have someone who can see, just to supervise and to help with activities like that. Yes, that's frustrating for me. I'm very independent. I always want to be able to do things by myself, and I don't actually like having to rely on other people, but I accept that it is necessary sometimes. Other aspects of my relationship with the children. Well, one aspect that again is very frustrating is the accessibility or appropriateness of games to play with children. In this day and age, children see advertisements on television or wherever for various toys and games that they would like. Many of these toys and games, or many of the games, are not easily accessible to a blind parent. There are various types of board games which combine electronic components in with the board and things like that. And some of them could be made accessible, I agree. But I just don't have enough hours in the day all the time to do that. There are various games that rely on flashing lights or whatever. And again, they're not accessible. Another element which is frustrating. Alex has just started playing football, really enjoying it. And I would dearly love to have a kick around with a ball with him. But guess what? I can't find a ball with a bleep in it. Yep, I can find a ball with a bell. I can find a ball with ball bearings. But as soon as that ball stops rolling, it's all quiet. And I can't find the ball. And I want to be in the position where, you know, I can just play some ball games with him and be able to find the ball. When I was little, we used to have a ball that had a continuous bleep. And that was brilliant because it meant that I could play ball games and I always knew where the ball was. But they just don't seem to exist anymore. So there are frustrations like that. Now, I'm sort of saying about a lot of the downsides here to having children. Having children is the best thing I've ever done. For me, I get so much enjoyment, so much pleasure out of having them, despite all the frustrations, that I would not, I would not change anything. You'll hear from the sound scene tours that I submit, and yes, there are more to come, that we try and do a lot with the children, especially on at holiday times and things like that, and just their pure enjoyment or their pure enthusiasm for things and their ways of expressing ideas is absolutely entertaining and so pleasurable. The way that Alex and Bethany accept me is also really, really good. Like Larry, I've never really had to spell out absolutely why I can't see or anything like that. They just accept that. Yes, we have discussed the fact that I can't see, but that's only because occasionally one or other of them have asked me something about not being able to see, or have asked me why I can't do such and such a thing. They are both very helpful in their own ways. Alex is quite intuitively helpful on showing me things. Bethany at first wasn't as willing to be helpful. She now is. And when she's in a helpful mood, she's excellent because she will actually see ahead. And if I'm walking with Bethany, she's liable to say, you know, where there's a curb and things like that, which, okay, I don't need that sort of help all the time, but it is nice that she does it. Whereas Alex will be in a world of his own quite often, and I'd walk right off the edge of a curb if it was left to Alex. I'm not the sort of person to insist that my children help. It's good if they do, and I encourage them to, but I did not have children so that I could have sighted help. I had children because I wanted children. As I say, if they want to help and they enjoy helping, that's great, and I'm all for that. But I do not absolutely insist that they help me. Now, interestingly, I heard Larry's walk with Marley, and it really, really rang bells with me with Bethany, because Bethany hated holding hands. And even now, taking her to nursery and picking her up from nursery, she's sometimes reluctant to hold hands, and I have to insist that she does. Other parents are letting their kids run on ahead and all this sort of thing, and, you know, I'm insisting that Bethany holds hands. And as an offset to this, I try and think of something that she will enjoy doing after she's had to walk holding my hand. So whether it's something as simple as a television program, or whether it's, okay, you know, we'll go out to the playground, or something that will just make it worth her while to hold my hand. I tend to try and think in those terms so that she knows that if she does hold my hand and if she does behave, then she's going to get some sort of reward for doing that. It's very interesting with children. They tend to be very frank, very open, and very forward with questions. And so it's quite interesting when Alex has friends coming to the house, because he's at the age now where, you know, sometimes we have his friends coming for a meal. And I get asked all sorts of questions. I'm frequently asked how I manage to cook, which I will talk about in another podcast if people are interested. I'm asked how I manage to find my way around, because around the house I don't use a cane or anything. And I'm asked a whole range of questions, really. You know, how I manage to write, to read, and things like that. And I just hope that by having Alex's friends round, I, in some measure at least, educate the children to think that, you know, right, I can't see, but I'm not really that different. I still play games, I still read books, I still can write things, I can still cook meals, you know, I can find my way around the house and all this sort of thing. The problem I do have is with parents. I live in a very rural community, and if I walk down the street in our village, despite the fact that people have known me in the village for years and years and years, most people, when they see me using my cane, will go quiet. So they won't sort of say, "Hi, Donna," you know, or whatever, and sort of carry on talking to me so that I can move around them. It's almost like they're like, "Oh no, there's someone with a cane. I must freeze and go quiet." And inevitably, when people do that, it makes it a lot harder for me to manoeuvre around them without hitting them with my cane. Taking the children to school initially was very difficult because none of the parents would talk to me. And I would walk into school to pick up Alex or Bethany, and each child has a certain place where they hang their coats. But certainly for Bethany, in Bethany's situation, the place where they hang their coats tends to have lots of other things around, and so it is much easier if somebody would pass me Bethany's coat rather than me trying to fight through tables and easels and paints and pictures and goodness knows what. And basically, I had to make the move. I had to initiate asking, you know, please could somebody pass me Bethany's coat? It was almost like if I walked into the room, all the other parents were like, oh gosh, you know, not talking to her, what, you know, we can't think of what to say, we don't know how to react, sort of thing. It's taken me a long, long time to get some of the parents to speak to me. Now, as an adjunct to this, inviting Alex's friends back to our house for tea has been quite difficult and still is. Basically, I think a lot of the parents are quite wary of allowing their child to go to a blind person's house. Now, I would be wary. I would be wary of allowing my child to go to somebody's house that I didn't know. So I'm not criticising, I'm just saying how it is. What I have found is that I have to make a direct approach to the parent concerned and sort of say, look, Alex would like your son or whoever to come for tea. I know that you might feel worried and apprehensive about this. Would you like to bring your son or daughter down to play and come and have a coffee with me while they play for a while and just see how I go about things, just see how I actually manage to do things? And from there, you can basically decide whether you feel that it's okay to let your child come for tea. Now, that's all well and good. But in doing this, I have to create a good impression. This means that I have to have my house tidy and clean and presentable. I have to always look tidy and clean and presentable. My children always have to look tidy, clean and presentable and be up to date with fashions, because if they're not, what is going to come back on them is, oh, well, you know, your mummy's blind, she doesn't know the fashions, sort of thing. And I think basically I have to minimise the aggro that my kids get because I cannot see. And it means I have to work quite hard at making sure that that I make a good first impression, as it were, or a good impression all the time. I just feel I can never let my guard down when I'm expecting other people's parents to come round, or when my kids are out anywhere. You know, they've always got to be dressed really neatly and cleanly and everything. And that in itself is quite difficult. Okay, I think I've possibly rambled on enough with regard to things like that. I would be very interested if other listeners would like to contribute and talk about possibly accessible games that they play or played with their children. And if people know of accessible computer games that they can sort of play with children and things like that, again, I would be extremely interested. I'd be interested in any event, in any feedback or any comments with regard to what I've had to say. Please feel free to contact me either through the Blind Cool Tech email list, which, as I say, I am reading, or via my email, which is donna.slater@talktalk.net. Okay, I think that's enough from me for now. I will be contributing more in the not too distant future, hopefully. Thanks again to everyone for making this such a great podcast. Bye for now.